Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week. What a week.
Hey, Tom. Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week on YouTube and across every podcast channel. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. They don't go unnoticed. Please continue to share the love. Continue to subscribe, to like, and to send links to friends and family. Wow, what a week.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
The question to ask about today's guest is, what does he not do? Give him a script to read, a character bio, he nails it. Put a pen in his hand and give him a sheet of paper, and he'll probably write a song or even a poem. He's at home on the stage as much as he is in front of the camera, acting, and now even presenting on television. Legend has it, his voice is so deep. When they run out of oven degreaser at home, he's made to speak into the oven. And the grease simply gets weak at the knees, like those of his legion of female fans. Please give a warm welcome to the multifaceted, multi-talented actor, poet, and businessman whom we popularly know on our screens as Budom Dala in the telenovela The Wife, or Captain in Generations The Legacy. Ladies and gentle ladies, make some noise for Mondli Makoba.
Wow.
My brother.
Yes,
yeah. You're younger than me, but I must call you Budom Dala. How you doing, my brother? Oh, grand.
Man, I'm doing good. How are you?
It's so good to see you.
Same here, bro. Thank you.
You know, you've been a fan, but you've been a fan from a distance. But you're like, one day, that talent, I will interview.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling like right now.
I'm afraid. Yeah. Thank you. No, man, look, you guys have been an inspiration to most of us growing up, hearing your voice on radio, seeing clips there and there of whatever you do. So you are part of this.
Sure.
Yeah, you inspired part of it.
Tell us about first thing you do when you wake up. This is What a Week, so we're going to start with this week in your life. So you wake up, what's the first thing Mondli does?
Well, it depends on what am I going to do on the day?
Sure.
Normally, or mostly, it's acting.
Sure.
So I wake up and try to warm up my voice. Sometimes it's hard to speak early in the morning.
I was going to say, if your voice is deep like this, and already it's the sun is up, I'm sure when you wake up, it's a problem. Eh?
Yes. So that's why I have to warm it up.
So that you don't hurt your wife next door here. Or does your wife wake you up and say, baby, kulum?
No, she likes it.
Yeah.
She likes it. I think maybe that's why even she understood what I was trying to tell her.
Sure.
What I was trying to sell to her when I wanted her to be part of my life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Do you remember where you first saw her? And what is the first thing in your mind when you saw her?
It was at Montclair in Durban.
Sure.
At the car wash.
You guys were young then?
No, this was 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago.
This was 3 years ago. Yeah, we were younger.
Sure.
3 years younger.
Sure.
She had come to wash her car.
Mm.
And when I saw her, something said to me, that's your wife.
Sure.
And I had to listen to it.
Mm.
But then again, I wasn't sure because I had never seen her before.
Sure.
So I observed what she was doing. She went on to move the car, and I was with my friends. I was with Mbuso Khoza and Sihle.
Sure.
And then I said to them, that's my wife.
Mm.
I need to talk to her. But then what happened was, when I went to pay for the bill, because she's got dreadlocks,
sure,
one of her dreadlocks touched me.
That was a sign.
So when it touched me, then I had a feeling like, you know when you get goosebumps?
Sure.
And I turned, she was walking away.
Mm.
She didn't see me, even. Then I asked the lady that I was paying, the waiter.
Sure.
I asked her to go ask her to ask for a number, and she did. Then I sent her again to ask for a number, and she came back with it. And that evening, I tried to call her. Sure. She didn't pick up. But then I messaged her the next morning. That's how it started.
So you're messaging saying what? Like, who are you? Like, who are you? What do you want?
The message was something like, there are people that you meet and remember nothing about.
Sure.
But then there are people that you meet and remember everything, even how they look, what they did when you saw them.
But also, she stood no chance because you're also a poet, Tumus.
Well, I think everyone is a poet.
Yeah.
Because if you speak from the heart, heart is very poetic.
Absolutely.
If you speak from your own heart, then the words will come out that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You just have to activate your inner poet.
Exactly.
Because most of us don't even know it exists.
But it's there.
Absolutely.
If you look within yourself and find it.
But she also manages you.
She does, yes.
What are the challenges of having your life partner in your life at even a business level? The way you do?
The challenge would be switching off the heads.
Sure. Or feeling like you're being managed even at home.
Yes, yes. So the lines have to be clear.
Yeah.
So, and we need to be able to see those lines.
Absolutely.
So that we don't spill to the other side.
Now, when you look at the last 3 years, with your life partner, your lovely wife, is there a moment to look back at and you think, you know, I almost lost her here? That makes maybe makes you even more grateful that you guys have come this far.
Yes, yes. There are moments. Because, look, we did a show that became a hit with a wife.
Yes.
And then you get a lot of attention.
Oh, yes. So does your bum.
Yeah. So you get a lot of attention. And sometimes you can even be confused in those moments.
Yeah.
Not understanding or completely understanding what is happening.
Ah, yes.
Then she's there to pull you back. Should you pull away?
Sure.
You might cause problems.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No, but you also say that she encouraged you to do those steamy scenes that you did with Kanye.
Yes.
Yeah. How did the conversation go?
Normally what I do is,
yeah,
as I prepare reading a script, so I saw that there was this scene.
Sure.
So I had to sit it down and say,
baby, it's my turn.
No. To say, here's what I am to do at work. And now when I think it's way out there.
Sure.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about it.
Mm.
And then she was a books fan. She knew about the wife way before me.
Absolutely.
So she's the one that would come up to me and say, do this, do this, do this. But with this scene,
sure,
she said, this is how you and are living. It's your work.
Sure.
I can't tamper with it in any way.
Sure.
Go there, do your best. Yeah. And to me, that was something really good. That's why I was able to do it.
Absolutely. I'm told the way you guys shot those scenes set became the gold standard for how such scenes now must be shot. Tell us about that.
Well, if that happens, then it's good on us. Excuse me. Because I had never done a sex scene on TV before.
Sure.
But then, you know, as an artist, you get those opportunities where either your life get better,
sure,
or way bad.
And
I think for me that scene was that.
Oh, yes.
And if we were going to do it, it had to be done proper.
Sure.
We had a conversation with our director on the day, and he was very creative with it.
Sure.
We took time, we spoke a lot before we did it.
Mm.
And by the time we did it, it was like, we're going to do this once.
Sure.
Get whatever you can,
because
you're not going to do it again.
Absolutely.
So it came out really good.
So you're happy with the final product?
I was happy with it.
Was your wife happy with the final product?
Well, she was.
Because that's what's very important.
Yes. No, she was. Because, look, she encouraged me to do it.
Exactly.
And,
why?
It was her words.
Yes, sir.
And her heart that allowed me to do it.
Mm.
Because I know, like, other actors will come up to me and be like, my wife wouldn't have allowed me to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm. But she did.
But you also have actors, for instance, that wouldn't take scenes like that without even talking to their partner because they feel I need to protect her feelings or her image or how people view us as couples.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Man, look, I think let us have a conversation about it.
Mm.
Let me not just think on my own and decide, because now we're in this together.
We're building.
Yes, we're building something here. And if it works, it works for both of us.
Absolutely.
So let us have a conversation. If we don't agree, then we make a collective decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're still talking about you wake up in the morning, you warm up your voice. What does that warm up look like or sound like?
It's your normal warm up.
Yeah.
Your do re mi fa. All the scale and the sounds.
Why do you do that at home versus before a production?
Because when I wake up, rather I do it just when I wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. So that it's easier for my voice to come out.
Okay.
And it's not touched at that moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you pray when you wake up?
A lot.
Mm.
I pray a lot.
Tell us about this morning's prayer.
Today's prayer was more like, because I didn't know what I was here to do. Normally, I prepare ideas,
okay,
not the words.
Yes.
So my prayer was that when I'm seated here, whatever I speak is original.
Sure.
And people can connect with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why do people pray before they come here? Everyone before coming here prays. What have you heard?
No, I haven't heard anything, but that's what I do, because I believe that we are spiritual beings.
Yes, sir.
And every day we've got our own challenges that we need to defeat every day or to be victorious over.
Absolutely.
So with the higher power, it's easier to do that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning. The transition moving from Umlazi to Emacimbini, right?
Actually, it's the other way around.
Is it the other way around?
Yes.
So you started small and went big?
Yes.
Okay, tell us about the transition.
I was born in Durban.
Yeah.
But then I grew up in Emacimbini.
Okay.
Which was my grandfather's house.
Sure.
And then I started there, my lower education. And then after primary education, and then we moved to Umlazi. That's when I did my high school.
Sure.
Then that's where a lot of things started. The art.
Sure.
The music, Ebola, and all of that.
Why were you posted to the rurals before you were sent back to live with your grandparents?
Why was I?
Posted.
My father moved.
Yeah.
To Umlazi, and he wanted me by his side.
Okay.
So that he could teach me things.
Okay, so he was also Emacimbini.
He was born there. That's his father's house.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. That house is still there even now. So it was just an extension of the family.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you lost your dad, what, the early 2000s?
It was 2014. 2015, yeah.
Yeah. What is it about him that you look in the mirror and you say, this is Ubaba?
It's his words.
Yeah.
You know, when you're an artist at home, you always look different.
Sure.
And you're always told that this is not work. But with my family, it was different. My father was the first person to see what I'm doing and to have a say about it. I remember I had a character of Pastor Ngosi on Uzalo, and I sat with him to watch the episode.
Yes.
And when it was done, I waited for his feedback. And he said, "Awuyenzilele."
Sure.
So to me, that was really big from my father.
Yes, sir.
And then he went on to comment on my Facebook post.
Yeah.
And he said, "The sky is the limit. Kusho minitlos lakhe eliphilayo."
Wow. On the post?
Yes, on the post. Oh, wow. So today,
You know, my father still hasn't commented on my Facebook. He joined and he never went back.
No, man, I'm sorry, but mine did. Yeah. And I live by those words.
Wow.
And now that he's really an ancestor, and I strongly believe that there's some of the things that I'm able to do is because of who he is, where he is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yo. Because I think a lot of us in the arts, that's all we want. For our parents to affirm us.
Exactly.
For our parents to say, I might not have agreed with this journey. Or I might have struggled to take you to school for this journey. But I now see what you're doing.
Exactly.
And I beam with pride.
Yes.
And I'm with you and I support you. And
yes.
I think that's what everyone in the arts wants.
Man.
That's all we want.
Exactly.
That affirmation.
Yeah. So I got that.
Yeah.
And it helps me every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
What do you miss about Ubaba?
Man, you know, knowing that a parent is there,
yes,
alive, even if he's not telling you anything, just that thought of knowing that he's there, 'cause it kind of gives an assurance that if anything happens, we've got somebody to talk to.
Sure.
In a physical form.
Mm.
Now I don't have that, so I miss that a lot.
Yes, sir. Now, a lot of, and I'll also say it with me, for instance, that whenever we send our kids to my parents, their grandparents, normally my dad will unteach them things I've taught them because of how he believes things must be done.
Yeah.
So every time I send the kids, I always remind my dad, please don't unteach them anything you've taught them.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you look at about how your grandparents might have raised you and how your dad raised you and how you are going to one day raise your offspring? What's going to change or stay the same?
I believe in growth.
Sure.
Yes, there are things that my grandparents taught me. But life evolves.
Yes, sir.
They might be the same things fundamentally, but as time goes on, they evolve.
Yes, sir.
So I have a better way of teaching my kids of what my grandparents taught me, looking at where life is today. So there's that. And I think I might have teach them the same things, but they won't be the same exactly because of the time.
How many kids do you guys want? If at all you want children? Pella, we assume because people are together, they want children.
Yeah.
You know?
So, ask that again.
How many children do you guys want? If at all any children?
I think now, probably 2 or 3 more. Simply because we...
So how many do you have right now?
I've got 3.
You've got 3, okay.
Yes. Nowadays generation, we don't look at family.
Sure.
And I think that's where we lose a lot of things. Because if I'm the only one at home, should anything happen to me, that's the end of my family.
Yes.
So we leave no legacy.
Sure.
Yet our parents, my father gave, my mother gave birth to 4 of us. And I think we are behind. Looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird you say that because I've got 2 friends. My one friend doesn't have children. And Yena, he says he doesn't want kids.
Sure.
And I'm like, what of your lineage? He's like, so what do I do? Must I force myself to have children? So he's there that he doesn't want children. And then I've got another friend who's at 7 children. And I'm like, my man, when are you stopping? He's like, I want 10. I was like, my man, why do you want 10 children in 2024? So it's crazy how the way we think about legacy, the way we think about your family lineage varies from different people.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I'm here today. We're here today because our parents were not selfish.
Sure.
Our mothers, they didn't abort us.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
And look at what you've done over the years since you are alive. And who would have done what Fresh has done?
Absolutely.
Had your mother said, no, I'm going to throw this one away.
Oh, I'm not ready.
Yeah, born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very important to carry the...
I think so.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your relationship with your father, since we're still there.
Yes.
My understanding is, at some stage, there was a strain in the relationship.
Yes. Yes, there was.
And you do a show about Majita, men, gents.
Yeah.
How do we navigate issues of relationship strain, issues of your father showing up maybe later, issues of just general issues we have with our dads?
Yeah.
Because as much as there's good dads out there, some dads don't even know that I'm being a bad father. Because the way they raise you is how they were raised.
Yes.
And because now things are different, they didn't know better.
Yes.
I mean, I look at some of the beatings I got. I couldn't beat my children like that. You know what I mean?
But
I understand why I got that beating.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about your relationship with Ubaba.
My father was very strict.
Yeah.
As of today, I've never... Never.
Yeah.
Because he said to me, if you live here, you go to where I send you to go.
Sure.
Do that and come back.
Sure.
And I think that really helped me. But sometimes he would be very harsh. But I thank him today for his harshness. Because in that, there were a lot of other lessons as well. Yeah.
Okay, so now you understand.
I do understand. Yes, I do understand.
What was the cause of the strain?
The cause of the strain was, I remember I was doing grade 12.
Yes, sir.
He said to me, get an exemption. I'll pay for your studies. I mean, for you to further your studies.
Yes.
And then I did. But then he didn't pay for it. And I was angry, I think, for a long time. I remember I was angry for 4 months.
Sure.
Up until I got a chance to go to the UK. Then I met this guy by the name of David.
Yes.
And David told me his story. David didn't even know his father. And it hit me that there I was, angry at my father. Yet there's somebody that don't even know his father.
Absolutely.
He's younger than me. He's working. He pays his rent. He feeds himself. And he takes care of himself in every area of his life. Yeah. So that was a wake-up call for me.
And when I hear you are sleeping on having a father.
So, yeah.
How did you approach the fix in that relationship? What conversation happened with you?
I wrote my father a letter. I wrote him a letter because I knew that he liked reading.
Sure.
So if I wanted to tell him something and I feared to face him, I would write him a letter. And I know that he would read it.
Sure.
Whether he replies or not, but
at least he knows.
He's read it and he knows what I'm thinking. So having a conversation with David allowed me a chance to heal away from home because we were on tour in the UK. And by the time I got home, I was feeling better towards my father. And we rebuilt our relationship.
Last question about Ubaba. What was the most difficult letter you ever wrote him? And I think this is an opportunity even for other people out there who might have issues with communicating with their parents.
Yes.
Write a letter.
Yeah.
Or write a WhatsApp even. Or send a voice note. But don't keep it in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men are wounded children that never healed.
Exactly.
Because we never dealt with it.
Yes.
We never articulated exactly how it made me feel when you treated me like this as my parent. What is the toughest letter you ever wrote to dad?
It would be, there was a time when I lived in Australia. I was away from home.
Was this for Shaka the inauguration?
No. This one, I was just living there.
Ah, yes.
So things were not good at home. And my brother would talk to me and say, things are not going well. My father also would drink. And the drinking was getting bad. So then he would make mistakes in front of my brother.
Okay.
So then I had to write him a letter to say, look, man, You have four sons. None of them is doing drugs. None of them is a criminal. None of them is stealing cars or whatever. You should be grateful. So
you've done well.
Yes.
You've done well as a
actually,
father.
Yeah. What I want to do is to just be alive and see us change before you and see us make your life better. I think that letter was the hardest one because I was away. Sure. I was afraid as well because I didn't know how I was going to take it. And should he get angry and want to react towards that, I can't protect anyone. I'm away.
He's going to take it out on anyone else but
yes,
you.
So that was...
Did he respond?
He didn't.
Sure.
But when I got home, I saw that he had.
Ah, yes. Things were different.
Yes, things were different. Then he embraced me and he said, let us go play pool. So I knew then
that
we're in good terms.
We're good.
Yes. And I remember a moment where it was us, his sons and him, walking towards a pool hall.
Sure.
Mlazi. That picture, he was very proud.
Wow.
Because I remember when he got there, he even stopped some of his friends and said, no, I'm playing with my sons. So that, to me, was really good.
Wow, that is dope. Since we're writing letters, if you could write a letter to the industry you are in right now, what would that letter sound like?
Yo. there's a lot of grief that is happening in our industry. First of all, there are a lot of us that sees ourselves on TV, seated at home, not getting paid.
Sure.
I would want to talk about royalties. A lot of actors, they do work.
Sure.
And production houses, multiple get earnings from those works. And the actor is sitting at home.
Sure.
Not working, but his work is working.
Exactly.
Not for him, but for somebody else. And also, I would also talk about respecting the art, not taking models.
Sure.
And making them to act.
Influencers. Yeah.
Let us be clear on that. That if I am an influencer, let me do that.
Sure.
Not tap into what is not mine or what I'm unable to do. If I'm inspired to do something, let me train for it and come back and do it with honor, with respect that it deserves. And also, I would also say to people, it's very important how do you get into the industry?
Sure.
Or how do you get the work?
Mm.
Because then that becomes your way of getting it.
Absolutely.
If you've got it the wrong way, you'll end up doubting your talent.
Yes.
And getting your work the way that you've done it before. It'll be something like that.
Would you say the industry has been good to you personally?
To me, yes. I would say yes. Because since I've started working, I've always worked.
Would you say it's God's favor? Would you say there's something you are doing consistently that is getting you these gigs? Would you say it's a third hand?
I would say it's God's favor. And my ancestors, because I'm very deep in that.
Sure.
And I think I understood the gift, my talent, and I follow it. I'm not trying to lead it.
Sure.
I'm following it. So then it allows me to do all of these other things.
And this is since you were a child?
Yes. Yes. Because we were acting at school,
sure,
even though it wasn't at this scale, but we were singing,
sure,
and we were writing poems, and we were analyzing compositions, and we were doing it even then. Yeah.
You know, you talk about, for you, this has been part of your journey, part of your purpose.
Yes.
What you've been doing. And the show you're presenting on Mzansi Wetu, Vuka Mjita, is about helping Majita find their purpose, find their journeys.
Yes.
Why was it important for you to take this gig?
It was important because I felt I would get a better platform and a better reach of people.
Sure.
Because 3 years ago, I had started doing men's conference. So
the real men's conference, not the one on Valentine's Day.
No, where no, Majita, the real one.
Avoid getting involved. Okay.
Yes, the real one, the real one.
Yeah.
Because look, after doing that Gosana character, a lot of men come up to me. We have conversations about life.
Sure.
And the challenges that they face, some of them is just thanking me for playing the character that I did. I remember 2 years ago, I was at the Durban July. This brother comes up to me. He's like, thank you.
Sure.
I'm the eldest at home, and I've got about 4 brothers. But watching you as Ngosana helped me put my family together.
I've got goosebumps just hearing you tell that story. Literally, because I think even for people that are not firstborns, Ngosana's leadership was on another level. And I think it's something a lot of us can learn from.
Yes.
You know, whether you've got siblings or you're just leading people at work, there was something about Ngosana that just said, that is a leader. Whether you were doing wrong or right, you were leading.
Man, that character was something, it was something else.
Yeah.
I was just telling a sister that I was talking to earlier that how I got that character, it was given to me. It was given to me because that morning I was going to get a call. I was waken up by the Batwa spirits. It was between 5 and 6 in the morning. And they said to me, wake up, sing a Batwa. So I woke up trembling, had goosebumps all over my body, had never met this spirit before. Then I went to pray.
Sure.
When I got there, all my praying candles had Abogogo, which is the praying mantises.
Oh, yes. They were
seated on all of them. And I felt a very strong presence of whatever was there. And I knew something really good was happening.
Sure.
As I stepped out, Gwenzo called me. Gwenzo Ngo.
Sure.
And said to me, I just shared your numbers with Stained Glass. They will call you about the show.
Sure.
The wife. I didn't know what the wife was. I didn't know anything about the books.
Sure.
And then they did call. It had never happened to me to have a production say, we've got an offer for you. Please say yes.
Sure.
Yo. Then they gave me 2 contrasting scenes to do, then send them back to them. And that's how I got it.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting Sis Dudu. She said to me, I needed to read the books.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, me now I'm an actor.
Sure.
A brief is enough.
Sure.
And she said, no, I think you should read the book. And because I just wanted to end the conversation, I said, okay.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Sure.
And then Ngosana came out the way that he did, similar to the one that she wrote.
Sure.
And again, to me, it goes back to how I got the work.
Yes, sir. That it was already in control.
I think so. I think so.
Back to Vuka Mjita.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're telling us about the show and the journey and how this show is about guiding Majita.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, because I was doing men's conference,
yeah,
I had a DM, or was a DM or an email from Thabo. He's like, we've got this idea of a show that would like to do. Would you be keen to meet?
Mm.
So we had a meeting in 4 Ways, and we aligned. And I had to go in for an audition, and I got the job. But then again, what it does for me, because it's something that I think I was already doing. Because in malls, I stop and talk to people.
Yes.
Wherever I am, people come up to me and we talk.
Mm.
So now getting this platform was a blessing in a way. Yeah.
Like you're saying, you can reach more men.
Yes, yes.
What have you learned about yourself doing this show?
I think I've got a lot inside of me that still needs to come out.
Sure.
Because I would catch myself during the show saying something I've never said before. So then that makes me believe that there's a lot within that still needs to come out. That I also learn, because you'd be talking to someone advising, but you're also talking to yourself. Yeah.
And isn't that just the best, though, when, as you're ministering or teaching, you realize just how much you're also learning? That's the best feeling ever.
Yes.
Where you dig into areas of your brain you've never tapped into.
Yes.
Looking to help someone else.
Yes.
But you realize I needed that, too.
Look, man, I find that even with the characters.
Yes.
We spoke about Gosana. I think his life, I borrowed a lot from my personal life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that feeling of talking to someone, trying to help this man, I also learned. I learned a lot from doing the show.
Who should watch Vukamjita?
Everyone. I think men should watch.
Would it help women understand us better if they also watch the show?
Exactly. Because there are things that, look, somebody would say men don't talk.
Sure.
It's a statement that is out there. But men do talk.
Sure.
And I always say to the ladies that you're in a relationship with him. He spoke to you.
Sure.
Wakshela.
Sure.
That was him talking to you.
That was already him putting himself out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even knowing you.
Yeah.
But he trusted that.
Yeah.
Now, what happened?
Mm.
Something did happen for him to then bottle things.
Sure.
Because, no, like, he spoke to you when he saw you the first time. Yeah.
You know, I'm an advocate for gents opening up. But most guys that I speak to say the exact same thing. If I show her I'm vulnerable, one day she'll use it against me.
That's the problem.
Where do you think that comes from?
Look, man, I think...
Do you think it comes from previous experience or just fearing one day having all this vulnerability that you showed thrown back in your face?
Partly it's that, but also I think most ladies, when they are not sure, they become very defensive, and then they attack. And when they attack, they can only use what you've told them, things that they know that will hurt you.
The facts they have.
Of your own life, things that you've shared in confidence. Those are the very things that they then turn and attack you with, because they want... Physically, they can't do anything to you, but some do. So they will use things that they know exactly that will hurt you, and that's your fact of life.
So what do you say to Majita then? That do we risk it all and be vulnerable to your partner, or how do you navigate it then?
I think let us be vulnerable.
Yeah.
If we are vulnerable with our partners.
Yeah.
That's growth.
Mm.
But we need to take that hit of whether it will work or not.
Yeah, it's a risk worth taking.
Yes, it is worth taking, because we can't build families without them.
Absolutely.
And they make us better.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think we need to unlearn as guys? I'll give you an example. So, for instance, for me, as much as I grew up with cousins who are girls, who are high achievers, I mean, I've got probably about six cousins who have doctorates in their chosen fields. That's the level of girl power in our family. But in my mind still, for instance, if I get to a car repair place and the mechanic is a woman, for instance, I'll do a double take. I will still trust her with my car. But in the back of my mind, because of how we're socialized, because of how we're raised, I'll still think, ish, I hope she doesn't mess up my car. But the reasonable me will also say she wouldn't have this job if she couldn't do the job. So for me, that's something I've been unlearning my entire life. That, yes, I know that if there's a woman in a role traditionally reserved for men, she's there because she deserves to be there. But I still need to remind myself. What other things do you think Majid, I need to unlearn? So I'll give you another example, that because of how I was raised, there were specific roles. But now I'm having to raise my nine-year-old son, reminding him that cooking is for survival. It's not a gender role. You know what I mean? If you can't cook, you're going to die. You know what I mean? I have to remind him that I also make the bed. I expect you to make a bed. I do the dishes. I expect you to do the dishes. But in a traditional home, the girls do this, the boys do that. But now you end up now with a generation of boys and men who can't even look after themselves.
And it's a problem. Look, I think we should be able to look at what is today and try to understand what it was yesterday and what it could be tomorrow. And also, I think we need to unlearn habits as we grow up. We are told that a boy with many girls, he's the boy. He's the man.
You're a stud.
So we need to unlearn that in a way that we need to understand the stages of our own lives. That once I get to this stage, I'm no longer, I need to also change the mentality of who I am in this part of my life. Because then if you don't do that, there is no growth there. If I get married today and I still have a chain of my mistresses, it'll cause, I'm bringing problems to my own life. I'm disturbing my peace because if she's not happy, we're not going to be happy. So I think it's those things of we need to understand where we are and who we are in each and every different stage of our lives. I think if you can look at things that way and try to question a lot of things, not just do things because somebody's doing them. Let us do them with understanding and understanding what are we going to achieve from it. And how is this good for my family? And if we center our family and honor, we will be good men.
Absolutely. Now, you're a Zulu man. And generally, whether it's a Zulu culture, Xhosa culture, Tswana culture, our cultures are very patriarchal. And in fact, often, even within our cultures, when I ask you, how are the children? It includes the wife. She's one of the children. How do you reconcile being a modern man and also operating within what our traditions and our cultures and how we're raised are?
I think it's just being aware that this is how I grew up. These are the values that I was given at home. And take those values. When I get to Johannesburg, still maintain my values, but also understand how Joburgers do things. So I think if you're keeping that balance helps me understand or allows me to do the things that I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely. Earlier on, you alluded to the fact that you operate within your gift. And that you've accepted your gift, your calling. How did this gift manifest? And how much resistance was there before you succumbed to the gift?
I didn't have a lot of... I didn't resist. Because it was like an answer to some of the questions that I've been having since I could remember. Because I do remember that when I was seven, I had to do amagobong when I was seven. Because I had...
For those who don't know, what is that?
Amagobong, it's... I don't know how to put it. It's not an initiation. It's ukamba that I have to eat for my ancestors that live within me. So I need to do that. Normally, it ranges about 3 weeks. You do that for 3 weeks. You eat a certain muti, which is just trees.
Sure.
You eat that for
so at the age of seven, who realized that this child has this gift and this is what needs to happen next?
At the time, it was my grandmother.
Sure.
Because I got hit by the car. And then I almost got hit again.
Yeah.
Then they had to go check what was happening. Sure. Luckily, one of my grandmothers was a sangoma.
Sure.
She just said, no, this is an ancestral child. He needs to do these things. Then that's when it started. But then fast forward to 2020, lockdown. That's when my grandmother now, my guardian angel, that came to me.
Sure.
It was in one of the nights, I had a big dream where I had music and drumming that was beautiful, and it was very loud in a subtle way that the sound would go as far as my eyes could see. But this music was something. And a thundering voice said, "Vuga," which was wake up. Then I woke up. The picture was of ancient picture, probably in the 1300s. It was that old. I was in a house that was roundish, even though I couldn't see the details, but the picture was that old. Then the door opened. Two kids came in, which I believe those were my kids, because I've got a son that passed on in 2015.
How old was he?
He was 1 year, 9 months.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, man. And then, so they came in and said, "We are busy, Gogo." And in that moment, my feeling was, I knew that I was supposed to go with her. Then I started looking for the bag. I knew that I needed to get a bag to go with her. But then I delayed somehow. I got to a point where I was like, I felt like I was delaying her. Then I was like, no, let me just go out with these kids. So I followed them. Then there, my grandmother was there. But it was my grandmother, my father's mother, in her younger age. Then she gave me this white gift. I took it with both hands, and she said, "Let us go." And I said, "Okay, let me get my bag again." So I went back to the house. Then I woke up. So it was that. But the feeling in it was so real, and I felt something has shifted within me spiritually. Then I got pulled into watching that show, Idlozi Lami. And I liked how the Sistembi connects with the ancestors. Then I went to, because I was at Mazimdoti. So I went to the beach to pray and Afrika na kona ngapahla. And then I asked that they come with me so that they see where I live. Then I got home, and
Where you live in Gauteng?
No, back in KZN. Because I was still in KZN. Lockdown, I had to go back.
Yes.
I had to go back home. And then I came back. I was seated on a grass mat with both white and yellow candles, just talking to her as if I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Because I wanted to see her. That evening, she did come. And with the same two kids that I saw it in that vision, she sat on my bed, stretched her hand, and shook my hand. I was very happy.
Wow.
My spirit was joyous ever since.
True.
And in that week, after seeing her, I wasn't working, and I was given 6,000 rand. To me, that also was like, okay.
So who gave you 6,000 rand?
Different people.
Ah, okay.
Different people. There's a guy that wanted me to help him with his music video.
Yeah, sure.
We had a meeting for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's a Maskandi guy.
Sure.
And he's like, people like you don't give people time, but yes, thank you. Here's 2,000.
Oh, wow.
And then I took his CD and I listened to his music, trying to figure out how I'm going to tell this story.
Ah, yes.
As I was driving to Durban.
Mm.
And then I called him and said, I'm coming to Durban for something. Would like to catch up. I think I've got an idea. So then again, we met again. We spoke briefly about his music. And also, he's like, he gave another 2,000 and two bottles of Jameson and Johnny Walker Gold. So that was something to me, and and a friend of mine also gave me $1,000, and the other one gave another $1,000, so ended up having 6,000 during that week of seeing her. I wasn't working, so this money was very important.
It was much needed. How do you navigate having a gift such as yours and also being in a relationship and your partner understanding the journey you are on and respecting the journey you are on?
I try to feed her enough information so that she understands. But also, she's not just someone.
Sure.
She's someone that I've asked for. Because when my previous relationship didn't work, I went back home and reported that it didn't work. Now, I don't want to come with a lady and say, she is my lady. Give me yours. Who is my wife? Give me my wife now.
Sure.
Then the next day, that's when I met my wife. So she understands who I am. She understands what I do, all the gifts that I have, and anything that has to be done by my partner, she understands that.
Now, a lot of us Africans are raised also within a Christian context.
Yes.
But then you also have Christians who say, but if you're Christian, you can't operate within your gift, or you can't even communicate with amadlozi, etc., etc.
Yes.
That you can't walk both paths. What do you say to people who say that?
I think it's lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Ancestors are God's creation.
Sure.
We're sitting here today. In a few years, we'll be ancestors. So we cannot say ancestors and God. There's no competition there. God is the all power, it's the higher power of everything. Then ancestors fall under. So that person, I would say to them, no, they need to learn more when it comes to those topics, because God and ancestors don't clash. Ancestors are of God. And we do things through God's blessings.
When you look at blessings that didn't happen, or things you asked for, or answers you asked for that you never got. How do you walk that road of I asked, it didn't happen?
I think you need to understand that you are a child in this. At home, there are things they will ask for. Mm. Some of them, they will give it to you.
Sure.
Some they won't. Mm. If you understand that, it will be easier.
You can't be a petulant child now.
No, you can't get everything.
No.
Yeah. So you need to understand that. There are things they will ask for that you'll get. Some you won't get. Probably you'll get them later.
Mm.
But later, maybe you'll understand why you didn't get them at the time.
Mm.
Mm. Like now, our fathers were harsh on us,
sure.
But today we thank them for that.
Mm.
So there are things that were done to us or happened to us today that won't understand. That will understand maybe in 20 years or 30 years even.
Mm. Mm. In fact, that's the conversation we had with Nambita last week.
Yeah.
About the fact that often either the hardships or the lessons that are not apparent right now, you look at in 5 years and you realize that, that was preparing me for this.
Mm.
And often it's not apparent until it's apparent.
Exactly, exactly. And look, man, there's nothing that just happens.
Yeah.
If we can take time and look back in our lives, a lot of things make sense now. And there's more that will make sense in a few years. Things don't just happen.
Yeah.
It's like meeting people. My belief is God and your ancestors go forward.
Mm.
Everyone that you meet,
sure.
You are meant to meet that person.
Mm.
And everyone, whether your relationship worked or didn't work, but it serves its purpose.
Sure.
Probably you just had to learn things.
There's a lesson. There's always a lesson.
Yes.
There's always a lesson.
So those lessons are summing up to be for you to become who you are at any given moment or any level of your life at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we have a brand new Minister of Arts and Culture.
Mm.
Write him a letter. What would that letter sound like?
First of all, it will be to protect our stories as South Africans.
Mm.
We've got a lot of stories that are foreign told, where foreigners come in and tell us how to tell our stories.
Sure.
And I think the department should protect our stories.
Mm.
And also, if you come here to tell our story, you need to employ us here.
Mm.
We cannot have leads, people that can't even pronounce words in a proper way, because that's disrespect to our own languages and our people. So if the department can protect us from that, protect our stories, and make sure that these companies do not exploit us.
Mm.
They come here and pay us in dollars, because their budget is in dollars. We can't be paid in rands.
But is the fault the foreign production company or the local production company that they use to get our people to work?
We should have a system that is better than that.
Okay.
That's where the department comes in.
And that's transparent.
Yes. The department should filter everything to suit us because it is our story.
Mm.
And we should progress as actors. We can't have people making a lot of money out of our stories and we make nothing.
Mm.
And also, that thing that I was talking about, the royalties.
Mm.
Actors should have royalties.
Mm.
If we do have that, we won't have some problems, because a lot of our things spiral from poverty.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm. In fact, I was listening to Dr. John Kani in one interview talking about precisely that.
Yeah.
That in the US, they have a Screen Actors Guild that protects them.
Yes.
That makes sure that even when you're not working, you have residuals.
Yes.
You have your royalties. That every 5 years you'll get a check because somewhere in the world someone is looking at your work.
Exactly.
But for some reason our contracts don't allow for that.
Yeah, and that's what needs to change.
Yeah.
The department can do that.
Mm.
They should do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think is hamstringing the whole process? Why do you guys need to sing about this so often, but nothing is being done?
Look, man, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know, because it might, to us it seems simple.
Yeah.
It's just passing the bill.
Sure.
But I don't know what's holding it back.
Mm. Mm.
And as a country, we had that word corruption that is thrown at us. Probably there's that, I don't know.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with a group of guys yesterday in the industry. And we were debating whether generally do the public in the back of their minds hate public figures or are we the problem? I'll tell you where I'm going with this. So rapper Da Les had a stroke, I think, on Saturday. And I think initially he was sent to one of the clinics in Sandton.
Right.
And now he is in a government hospital. And then there was word of the fact that they're trying to raise money to get him treatment. But generally, the sentiment on social media is you're a public figure, why don't you have medical aid, or why don't you go to public hospitals like we do? And we're debating whether generally the public almost wait for you to be down and out before they attack you and say, yeah, but we're now, why don't you have medical aid? Where you know, when your songs were doing well, you didn't know us, now you want our money. What are your views on our relationship with the general public?
I think,
because I almost feel like they love us when they see us on screen.
Yes.
But the minute you ask for help, it's like, but you're famous. Why do you need our help?
Yeah. I think, first of all, there is not a good understanding of who we are and what we do and how things work.
Sure.
People see us on TV and think, we have what they think we have.
Sure.
Yet we are going through a lot.
You know, even relatives will think because you're on TV once this year, you're loaded.
Yeah, because it's again lack of information, not understanding. When I'm doing a character, it's Nkosana that is a millionaire, not me.
Yeah.
When I take off the costume, I get back to myself. And I think we still need to educate our communities with that. But also, Nati, we need to take care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
We need to be taught or create platforms where we can teach ourselves on how do I manage my money?
Yes.
How do I create a good relationship with my money so that at some point, it helps me, mostly in the most needed times. So I think, again, we also play a part in how the society views us.
And you know the sad thing, especially with you in the acting space, is a lot of people don't understand how you might be on 3 shows this year.
Yes.
But often those shows were possibly shot last year.
Exactly.
And by the time they TX, that money's gone.
I said,
you don't have an income by the time that thing is on TV.
Yeah.
And even the income that you got at the time you were shooting that thing, it's enough maybe to pay your bond for 2 or 3 months and other expenses.
Yes.
And then you're broke again.
Some of it is not even because, again, we have agents.
Yeah.
They are not really agents.
Sure.
They're
sure.
just scammers. A lot of people in the acting industry, they work for nothing.
Yeah.
Because there is 25% from SARS that need to pay, but also some agents, they hammer their actors. Some pay over 25%.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
So,
again,
so of your entire fee, you're lucky to get 50%?
You are lucky.
Yeah.
Some get way less than that. And again, it goes back to the department should protect us. We need to have agents that are agents, not scammers.
Yeah, who don't just wait for roles.
Yeah.
You must go out there and sell me.
Exactly.
Go out there and sell me and go find me other things to do that I can earn a living.
Yes, while I'm doing this work, you should have works line up for me. That, because you know what I can do as an actor. Look, you're my agent. So you should go out, say, I've got this actor that can do 1, 2, 3.
Exactly.
And I can see you're preparing to shoot something in a few months. But it's the other way around. They now wait.
Yeah.
for the production house to publish.
And also because now I'm managing 10 people, at least at any given time, there'll be a bit of money coming in for me. But for your 10 guys, they're waiting.
Now there's a problem. Yeah. And they keep taking in new actors every year.
Sure.
My question is, why keep on taking new actors when the ones that we have, because they should all be working.
Sure.
Then you can go on and take someone else.
You know, I could also boldly say, you should go out there and find me other opportunities, leveraging off the fact that I've got this talent.
Yes.
I shouldn't be having to pay for a car installment because you've gone out there and found me a car sponsorship.
Exactly.
Or convinced someone that give my guy a car for 6 months.
Yes.
Then at least I know for 6 months I don't have to worry about a car payment. Mm.
So he's on TV, he's doing this show.
Yeah.
Get him that. But they don't do it.
Yeah.
We end up doing it ourselves.
Sure.
And then it also creates a friction between us now and the agent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think because you know in advance when this new show is TXing, why are there no opportunities lined up by managers and agents that if this thing is TXing on the 1st of August, that from the 1st of August we have this guy and whatever product doing a collaboration to capitalize on the fact that said actor is on TV. You don't see that.
No.
Instead, you're on TV for 12, 13 weeks.
And that's it. Like that's all you have.
Like nothing happened.
No. Just like you've never been on TV.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So our agents really need to come up and work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk about how we also need to look after our finances. And I'm in a DJ group with a ton of DJs.
Mm.
And I always advise them the same thing.
Yeah.
That guys, at the very least, have a hospital plan.
Mm.
At the very least.
Mm.
You don't have to have medical aid.
Yeah.
But have a hospital plan because you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And especially with our lifestyles, some of your lifestyles, you will get a stroke sometime.
Yes, because we don't rest.
We don't rest. You're stressing.
If you have to perform here.
Yeah.
Then the next thing, Usempumalanga, the next thing, you're in KZN, in 1 weekend.
Yeah.
With the same body.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then when you collapse, no one can help you.
Yes.
Then now we must ask for money to help you, and then it just becomes dirty.
Yes.
That's the problem.
So now it's like the industry doesn't have money, but industry does have money.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't get to where it's supposed to,
yeah.
and it's not well managed.
Mm.
Yeah.
So my advice, if you're in any industry, in fact, especially where you're a freelancer, even if you're just putting away 500 rand, 1,000 rand a month, just for your hospital plan, if you've got children, include the children in there.
Exactly.
I mean, I look at, for instance, my son was born 2 months premature.
Mm.
He was in ICU for 2 months.
Mm.
Imagine paying for that out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
And then he had to then go have surgery because he was premature, his lungs were not fully developed.
Mm.
So he had to have a surgery on his lungs also when he was, I think, 6 months old.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry he had to go through that.
No, man, it's you know, I look back and, you know, all I was thinking was, thank goodness the medical aid was in place.
Mm.
Thank goodness the medical aid was in place.
Yeah.
And then I look at some of my friends that didn't have medical aid, that went through what they went through simply because the costs were what the costs were.
Yes.
That we need to look after ourselves.
Exactly.
And if it means you're making a sacrifice and not buying that extra pair of sneakers, you do that.
Yes.
But just put 500 rand just for hospital plan.
Mm. Or sometimes a basic you don't even know plan. What you did with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
My brother, we could talk forever.
Yeah, man.
And I wish we could, actually.
Mm.
But before we let you go, we're going to play a little game that we play. It's called When Last.
Yeah.
When last did you feel like it's not working out? Maybe it's time to look at other ways of doing things.
Mm.
Yeah. It could be with career. It could be with anything in your life.
I think it was in a relationship.
Yeah.
And the lady that I was with then had made a decision to sleep with someone.
Yeah, but nah.
And I was like, nah.
I like the way you say made a decision.
She did.
Because often we treat it like how I tripped and fell and next thing I was there.
Nah. Because that thing, it's like, if I say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake,
yeah.
I cheated,
yeah.
That's not a mistake.
Sure.
I knew what I was doing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And I was like, no, this won't work for me. Mm. Yeah.
How does going through something like that affect how you relate to the next partner when you get a next partner?
I think you need to have a gap.
Mm.
In that gap, that's where you kind of flush out where you come from.
Sure.
And cleanse yourself, ready for where you're going.
And a lot of us jump into the next one immediately. Eh?
Yeah, and it's a problem. Because we end up bleeding to the wrong person.
Absolutely.
Because we're not healed.
Yes,
so I think it's better to have that gap to yourself, understanding what were the problems there, and heal from those problems on your own before you include somebody else.
When last did you feel like God had turned his back on you or her back on you?
It was when I lost my son. There was a car accident.
You?
And my stepson and my son. So my boys died there.
So two?
Yes.
Jeez.
Because last time I spoken to them, it was on the phone. Next thing I was talking to them in body bags.
Wow.
So I felt he turned away. Yeah. But I think that experience made me most vulnerable to the higher power, because there was nothing that somebody in flesh could do for me.
Sure.
So I turned back to God and my people.
When last did you cry?
I cry. I'm a person that cries if things don't go the way. If it hurts, to me it hurts.
When last was that?
I think last time I cried was sitting at home, looking at what God and my people had done for me. It was tears of joy.
How long ago was this?
This was probably 2 months ago.
Sure.
2 months ago. I was at home, because now we are back at my grandfather's land. So just sitting there, seeing life happening, was emotional for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
When last did you worry about the state of South Africa?
Man, it was during lockdown. Because that time changed me.
Yeah.
Changed how I look at the country. And I decided probably to live parallel to whatever is happening.
Sure.
I stopped listening to the news because I felt like news are depressing.
Sure.
We've got nothing positive that journalists write about our country. So if you're going to listen to the news every day, you'll be depressed.
Sure.
And I felt like I've got a lot to do. I need to be positive.
Yes.
So I can't be positive watching and listening to what is presented to us on the news. So I was worried about where our country is going. And again, even with what is happening now,
yes,
with the new government setup, it's a problem for us, because it's like people are not even the topic.
Yes.
And so I decided to not focus on our politics, because my mind is very loud about it, but I can't articulate it way that will be good for whoever's listening, because nothing will happen. So I decided to just shut that part of my life off.
Sure. When last did you do a men's conference, and when's the next one?
We did last one last year.
Yeah.
And the next one will be in November this year.
Okay. Why such a gap? Why do you take so long in between conferences?
Because we don't yet have a system.
Sure.
That is in place. We still need to.
I propose a monthly system.
Monthly system. Yeah, looking at the problems that we have as men, monthly will be reasonable.
In fact, if there was a portal where men could log in, log on, and interact daily, that's actually what we need.
Yes.
Where guys can just check in.
Mm. Mm.
If I'm not okay, I can check in anonymously even.
Yes.
And say, gents, this is where I am. Help.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's actually what we need.
Exactly.
And that's my challenge to you.
Okay. So I'm going to think about
it. We need a portal where men can just log in anonymously and talk to other men.
Yes.
Share ideas. I need help, guys. This is the situation I'm in. I've got a lunch appointment tomorrow with a friend of mine who's going through issues in his marriage, and he needed advice.
Mm.
And I'm like, if we had a portal like this, he wouldn't have to wait for my availability.
No, he would have gotten help already.
You log in and you just say, gents, this is the situation right now.
Yes. No, I like that idea. It's something that needs to be done.
Because
we go through things every minute.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. When last did the love of your life say to you, stop performing? You sound like you're in character here. This is home.
Actually, she didn't.
Yeah.
She hadn't said it, but she had asked me to sing Hosanna.
Sure.
It was during the time when we were shooting the wife and we were going to the launch.
Okay.
So I was putting on Hosanna's clothes.
Okay.
And she asked to see him.
Oh, as in she asked you to be in character?
Yeah.
That is so dope.
And she got very scared.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sing Hosanna again.
Oh, wow. So which part of Hosanna, which side of Hosanna did you show her?
It was just the look.
Ah, yes.
Because I went to his thoughts. Because he's a loving man, but also he's very dark.
Oh, yes.
When it comes to his family. So I just went to those thoughts and looked at her. Then she felt it.
Yo. That is wild.
Mm.
And finally, when last did you give thanks to the ancestors and all those that guide you on this journey?
This morning.
Yeah.
This morning.
Mm.
When I was praying.
Mm.
Yeah.
What did you exactly thank them for?
Man, being alive
and
still think the way that I do.
Sure.
A lot of men have got mental issues.
Mm.
If I can still remember that, I've got an interview with Fresh today,
and
I need to prepare to go there.
Mm.
I'm still okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's funny because that was my prayer this morning.
Wow.
My prayer this morning was just, thank you that I'm waking up with air in my lungs.
Mm.
The rest I will see to finish.
Yes.
Just thank you.
Yes. Yes. Life is very important.
And a lot of us often only pray because there's a problem.
Mm.
We only check in when there's a problem.
Yes.
We only check in when we're asking.
Mm.
And rarely when it's just, I just want to say thank you.
Yes. Yes. And I think we should do that.
Yeah.
Because there are situations that will really cause you to be positive.
Sure.
Even if it's negative.
Yes, sir.
That positivity could be the light to pull you out of there.
Mm.
So when you wake up, when you go to sleep, you go on hope that you will wake up.
Absolutely.
So when you wake up, you have to thank God for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. You've got a hat range or a hat business, fedoras.
Yes.
How do we support that?
You can buy a hat. It's at... it's in Sentin.
Okay.
You can get them from Nala.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you make them my size? I can't find a hat my size.
Well, we can definitely do something.
So I must come in for measurement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we do have small, medium, and large.
Okay.
We're not extra large yet.
I need double extra large.
Double extra large.
Then I'll get a fedora.
No, we'll do it.
How's business going, though?
It's going good.
Yes, sir.
Going good. Though... businesses always can be better.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
until you're a billionaire, it's not going well.
Until we have a system where it generates money while we sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where else can we catch or support Mondli?
Currently, Mondli is doing Vukam Jida on Sundays on Mzansi Way 2 at 8 o'clock. And On the 2nd, there is Lerato 2 coming out.
Or finding Lerato. Losing Lerato.
Losing Lerato, yes, with Bakwena Production. That is coming out on the 2nd.
Shout out to Kagiso.
Yes, sir. They are really dope in doing what they do. And also, there's another one that will come out with them. I'm not sure when. So I've got two works with them.
Okay.
And also, I'm on set shooting Shaga Ilembe season 2.
Oh, wow.
That will probably come out next year. Yeah.
There was a lot of drama around what happened behind the scenes on the set. Has that been resolved?
What we've had has been resolved. Yeah, because I also caught it on social media. But everything is in place now.
Without giving away too much, where does the story go?
It goes to Shaga being king.
Okay.
And the things that is done during that time.
Ah. Yes. That's as far as you know.
That is as far as I can tell.
Okay. Next time you guys meet with the production team, maybe suggest to them that they look at the relationship King Shaga had with Moshoeshoe of the Basotho. Because there was an interaction during that era between AmaZulu and Basotho.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a nice segue into the Basotho side of that era and how the two interacted. So maybe just suggest that to them and tell them they're welcome.
No, no, I will. Because I think in South Africa, there is Zulus are very proud people, and I commend them for that.
Sure.
But also, I do want to say to other people, be yourself.
Yes.
Because we are. We would go to Venda and visit Sanbo and Amadon.
Exactly.
And I'm not expecting you to speak Zulu.
Sure.
Speak your own language.
Absolutely.
So that I can also learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because often people think it's arrogance.
No.
But it's not arrogance. It's who I am.
Exactly. Exactly. If you respond in your own language, I don't have an issue with that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because often, depending on which tribe you're from, you'll greet them using your totem.
Yes. Yes.
So if your totem is, I don't know, Indlovu.
Yeah.
You know, Sawubona Indlovu. That's how you'd greet, so that they know your totem.
Exactly.
So in your greeting, you're presenting yourself.
Exactly.
And we must do that with pride.
Yes. Yes. And with language again, sometimes it's not just words. I will get you, even if I don't understand fully understand your language, but I will hear. Because communication is something else.
Yes,
it's not only verbal.
It's not just spoken.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mondli, like I said, I could talk to you for forever, my guy. But we have you on the show because, one, I'm a fan. And two, I love the work that you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
I love the work that you're doing on Mzansi Wetu. Because I believe that as men, we have a while to go. We have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But with platforms such as that one, like you're saying, you'll reach more people.
Yeah.
And hopefully we change the way certain of us think.
Yeah.
And hopefully we find healing as we do that. Because a lot of our actions are not because we're bad people.
No.
We're just broken, but maybe we're not aware we're broken.
Exactly.
We're hurting, but we don't know where to start fixing.
Mm.
And until we all find each other, we all find ourselves,
yeah.
We all find a spot where we can admit that maybe I am the problem. I need to fix this. I need to heal the child that is now an adult hurting other people. Until we get there, we have a while to go.
Yeah.
And shows such as the one you're doing, your men's conference, you stopping in the middle of the road because a guy needs advice. That's the way it all starts, brother.
Yeah, man.
So shout out to you.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Like I said before, thank you for inspiration. You've inspired a lot of us without even knowing, without even having to meet us. I only met you last year.
Oh, yeah, in Botswana?
In Botswana,
yes.
After, like, that was my first time meeting you there. But I've always followed your work. I know what you are doing, and I like your mind.
Yes, sir.
Your mind is a big blessing and a gift. How you see things, how you analyze and articulate those things, it's very special.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are done with our guest, and if you have any comments, please comment in the comment section. Copy the link, share with friends, share with family, but most importantly, like and subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, Mondli Makoba is about to leave the building. And it is a wrap. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to Wow, What a Week. We are going into Women's Month, National Women's Month in South Africa. If there are any women you'd like to see on Wow, What a Week, profiled women that we can say, look what she's doing, she's flying so high, or women whose names we one day will remember, therefore we need to interview, email us, waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Coming to you live from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network. You've got our email, waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to the entire crew. Trevor, part of our cinematography, get in touch with Pezulu Works. They will film anything that you do and make it look like a movie. Today's show, researched and produced by Thabiso Sikwane, executive producer Keletso Modisa-King, and of course, you for showing up. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.